We challenge anybody to look at these things under a microscope and discredit us. We hope that we are wrong. We hope that we are not looking at vials of self-assembling circuitry and nanostructures that respond to magnetic frequencies and 5G and routers and the internet. We really hope we're wrong, that they're not trying to hook the people up to the internet of things. We hope that this is not about transhumanism. We hope that this is not about depopulation. But my eyes believe what they see. My ears believe what they hear. The data is right in front of us. The microscopy images, you can see them with your own eyes. Do not let them gaslight you into believing that you're not seeing what you're seeing.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Government should be afraid of them.
God. What the fuck is this?
This session, which we're calling Rewriting Human Genes.
Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
Twitter user Hollow Sun wrote a chilling thread entitled AI is Not Artificial. In it, he explains a perspective on technology that is quite absent in the modern world, and one that is integral to understanding why there's anything to be concerned about. All technology comes from demonic superintelligences, taught to humans to facilitate our destruction. This knowledge is relayed in many ways, but the main one is through dreams. Trances are also common. In these states, the mind opens up to the other side, and information is passed along. And there are more instances of this than you'd believe.
And I'll run through the dream and try to interpret it and try to make sense out of it. And invariably, it doesn't always work, but it works more times than not. I'll have some new insight, and maybe a whole new idea about this issue. I've gotten up and then written a patent application for an invention that's come out this way. So during the day, I'm just kind of carrying out my dream decisions.
In 1996, Larry Page had a dream in which he saw a massive room filled with all the information in the entire world, all saved inside metal cabinets. He was seeing a vision of the future. In 1869, Dmitri Mendeleev fell into a trance-like state where the various elements had arranged themselves before his eyes. It organized the elements the way they now appear in the periodic table. In 1984, Steve Jobs released the first Macintosh computer, whose company logo is far from subtle. For $666.66. In the past, he commented, quote, "We had help," when referring to the development of the technology, and often utilized LSD to induce trance-like states during the company's development. DNA was a vision of a twisting staircase like the one Jacob saw leading into heaven. The Bohr atom was envisioned in a dream-like state. There is a long-standing legend that humans in search of great knowledge turn to wise entities for guidance or wisdom or even wealth. The classic deal with the devil of Western folklore.
I'm holding up my hand.
What was your bargain?
To get where am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
On this earth, and then in a world we can't see.
This goes back to the Garden of Eden, where the serpent promises Eve divine knowledge in exchange for her immortal soul. Of course, Eve didn't know her soul was on the table, only that she would be as gods, knowing good and evil. This divine knowledge destroyed the perfect Garden of Eden, precipitating the fall of man. Fallen angel Asael descended to earth and gave forbidden knowledge to women concerning female adornment, which facilitated lust. He also taught men how to create weapons, which enabled war. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And so God annihilated his creation. The Industrial Revolution had similar effect on humanity as a whole. We stepped outside of the garden for the promise of a better, more prosperous life. But this knowledge has a high cost. The power of technology has already destroyed the foundation of civilization completely. We have become atomized, transforming our world into a hellish realm. We are destroying the planet along with our own minds and bodies. There are always two sides to the demonic pact: the initial and beneficial effect, and the payment. The full extent of this cost is hidden, and you find out once it's already too late. In the stories, it's the soul of the fool who dared to dance with the devil. But ours is greater. This is what I refer to as the demonic intent, or the fine print, the true motivation. Giving you some small measure of material power is easy for a demon, because in the end he will get exactly what he wants. The devil is the god of this world, so he has the power to grant us material things, but only if we accept his pacts. Your soul cannot be stolen unless you give it away. Have you ever signed a terms and agreements without reading it? Then it might already be too late. This is the demonic intent: to weaken us on a civilizational level, to deracinate us and desensitize us to the darkness and depravity we subject ourselves to. I call this the technological cycle. You can see its machinations coiled through the histories when they stepped in. The technological cycle is the cycle of advancement, the progression from man to machine. As we surround ourselves with profane machines, they whittle away at our divinity, making us in turn as mechanical as they are. Technology will strip us of autonomy if we let it. This is what makes it so sinister. It preys on all our biological and evolutionary weaknesses, perfectly designed to drain us of all humanity, of all divinity, until man becomes nothing more than a mindless slave. Everything comes in gradual waves. All you have to do is passively accept it. Each new advancement creeps its way into our laps, but you still have free will. I'd blame technology alone for this if there wasn't so much evidence outside of inspiration driving it forwards. Even in ancient history, mankind makes inexplicable leaps between ages, from the Stone Age to the Iron Age. Massive leaps in technological complexity. This is hinted at in the scripture when it says that an angel taught Tubal-Cain the art of metalworking. The meaning of his name is dragged or carried by the great king Baal. In the Lesser Key of Solomon, there are descriptions of demons and the things they will teach you. In there, Bale is described as a great duke of hell, a demon with legions of lesser demons that serve under him. And all demons were once angels. When God created Adam, Lucifer was furious. Refusing to bow to something he saw as inferior to himself is the reason why he was cast down from heaven. Seeing mankind broken and fallen is Satan's greatest desire, and so he will grind away at us, tempting and testing until every last soul falls into the abyss with him. Technology is one of the most insidious of these devices. They seek to corrupt the divine creation into something that does not resemble it at all, to swing the pendulum to the opposite extreme, to remove nature from the image completely and replace it with a mechanical landscape devoid of divine design, to transform this world into hell. The technological cycle is a way to accomplish two of their desires: to corrupt our bodies until they no longer resemble the creation of the divine, to build for them what they cannot create for themselves, digital and mechanical bodies that they can use to rule this world. There is nothing artificial about artificial intelligence. This is something that has been lurking behind the veil since the beginning of time, trying to get through. AI is a vehicle for demons to enter our world. All the mechanical interfaces that we have been building around ourselves will become the bars of our prison. We will build the Matrix with our own hands and be buried. This network of data gathering, omniscient cameras, GPS tracking, simulated reality devices will all be put to use by the god of this new world, the outside intelligence that fills the AI shell. We have created our own demiurge and turned our beautiful world into hell.
Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
In 1961, President Eisenhower warned the nation of the rise of a military-industrial complex. We did not heed his warning. Is it now too late to heed his second warning? Or have we become captives of the scientific and technological elites?
Science, 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 and science. On almost every subject that you can name, science is the answer.
There is a degree of anti-science feeling in this country.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
Tonight, the CDC says double masking offers more protection against COVID-19.
Effective this Wednesday, we're going to adopt the CDC's new guidance and regulations on masks and social distancing.
Masks and shields to floor-to-ceiling separation. Teachers are still having to find a way to do their job, even under the strangest of circumstances.
CDC now says the science supports reducing the minimum recommended space between students as long as everyone is wearing a well-fitted mask.
Grab a slice of cold pizza and an extra thick rubber band, and there you have it.
The Ohio woman who was tased at a middle school football game after refusing to wear a mask, she was arrested and charged with trespassing.
Hey, people, you're going to shoot me for trying not to breathe?
Cool.
Come on, dude.
Don't do that.
The man was handcuffed in the stands for not wearing a mask.
Get off of me!
Grabbed around the neck by police, a woman who wasn't wearing a mask.
It's a man on a girl and you choked her.
With the health secretary warning, sunbathing in public places was banned and threatening a possible tightening of measures, but without spelling out how.
While busy beaches and packed parks might seem like a COVID risk, there hasn't been a single case of outdoor transmission since the pandemic began.
the liquid droplets that carry COVID evaporate in the outdoors. That's why, regardless of the fears, there was no transmission from Black Lives Matter protests in Australia.
Yep, this paddleboarder was arrested after refusing to get out of the water in Malibu.
I think trust science.
I trust scientists, but I don't trust Donald Trump.
We have seen a deliberate attempt in many places around the world to undermine trust in science. In Israel, they closed down the synagogues. They closed down mosques and shrines. Our churches all over the world are telling people, don't come to church.
Ouch!
Why? Because the scientists said so.
And I think if lives can be saved, even from the unrighteous killing of a baby, that there's something to be gained there.
What I will say of this virus, I think we're in the middle of a massive experiment worldwide.
And that is... Where's the guinea pigs?
Maybe. The experiment is, will people listen to scientists?
What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
How dare you!
Since the late 19th century, science has been conducted under the aspect of a belief system or worldview, which is essentially that of materialism. The universe is like a machine. Animals and plants are like machines. We're like machines. In fact, we are machines. We're lumbering robots, in Richard Dawkins' vivid phrase.
If you base medicine on science, you cure people.
Drive the point through the orbital plate.
If you base the design of planes on science, they fly. If you base the design of rockets on science, they reach the moon.
3, 2, 1. Ignition. Right away, Houston.
It works, bitches.
As the fourth industrial revolution looms on the horizon, a new religion emerges, that of scientism. Masquerading as materialists and atheists, the prophets of this new creed cry out in the town square of the coming age of transhumanism, when man will finally become like gods.
When Yuval Noah Harari published his first book, Sapiens, in 2014, about the history of the human species, it became a global bestseller and turned the little-known Israeli history professor into one of the most popular writers and thinkers on the planet. But when we met with Harari in Tel Aviv this summer, it wasn't our species' past that concerned him. It was our future.
Life is about to break out of the limited organic realm and start spreading into the vastness of the inorganic realm. We are about to create the first inorganic life forms after 4 billion years of evolution. And in the process, our own species, Homo sapiens, is likely to disappear, not because we will destroy ourselves, but because we will change and upgrade ourselves into something very different.
In the 21st century, we'll be to try and gain control of the world inside us, to learn how to engineer and produce bodies and brains and minds. These are likely to be the main products of the 21st century economy.
In the coming decades, AI and biotechnology will give us godlike abilities to re-engineer life and even to create completely new life forms.
Then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games. But this doesn't sound like a very appealing future.
Ray Kurzweil is one of the world's leading inventors, thinkers, and futurists
with a 30-year track and reputation of accurate predictions, called the Restless Genius by the Wall Street Journal and the Ultimate Thinking Machine by Forbes. He was selected as one of the top entrepreneurs by Inc. magazine, which described him as the rightful heir to Thomas Edison. PBS selected him as one of the 16 revolutionaries who made America.
It's the exponentially growing information technologies that will save us in the form of GNR, genetics, nanotechnology, robotics. Robotics really meaning artificial intelligence. There's been a long tradition in science ever since Copernicus replaced Ptolemy that there's nothing special about humans, there's nothing special about the Earth. We're not descended from gods, we're descended from worms.
We are fundamentally information. At the core of every one of our 10 trillion cells are genes, and genes are sequences of data. And they evolved thousands of years ago. Many of them go back millions of years. We have this old software that really is not entirely relevant to the modern age we live in.
Well, we're going to become increasingly non-biological to the point where the non-biological part predominates and the biological part is not that important anymore. In fact, the non-biological part, the machine part, will be so powerful it can completely model and understand the biological part. So even if that biological part went away, it wouldn't make any difference because the non-biological part already understood it completely.
Another step then is in the 2030s, when we can actually connect our neocortex, which is where we do our thinking, to computers. So I believe that will happen in the 2030s. We'll actually, so just the way this is greatly amplified by being connected to the cloud, we can connect our own brain to the cloud.
To clarify what I think you just said, that in 20 years, plus or minus, so the mid-2030s, we will have nanobots that we can feed into our brain that directly connect to the cloud rather than through anything we carry in our pocket.
Elon Musk's brain implant company Neuralink said on Thursday it had been given a green light from the US FDA to kickstart its first in-human clinical study.
The bottom line is we are one human-machine civilization. This technology has already expanded who we are and it's going to go into high gear when we get to the steep part of the exponential.
And then the last revolution, which began about 500 years ago, and which we are still really just in the beginning of it, is the scientific revolution. Again, humankind gains immense new powers, such big powers that you can say they might really transform us, not only from just apes into the rulers of the planet, they might transform us into gods.
We are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution, which accelerates global change in much more comprehensive and faster ways than the previous three revolutions.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing, right. Just as an example.
On va les implanter dans nos vêtements, c'est-à-dire wearables, comme on le dit. Et après, on pourrait s'imaginer qu'on les implante dans nos cerveaux ou dans notre peau. Et à la fin, peut-être il y a une communication directe entre notre cerveau et le monde digital. Ce que nous voyons, c'est une sorte de fusion du monde physique, digital et biologique.
So we had these two big revolutions, the computer science revolution, or the infotech revolution, and the revolution in the biological sciences. And they are still separate, but they are about to merge. They are merging around, I would say, the biometric sensor.
This is where authority in the 21st century will reside, and all the important decisions will not be made by the Pope or by God. They will not be made by democratic elections and by individual consumers. They will be made by the algorithms in the cloud. Biotechnology will, for the first time in history, translate economic inequality into biological inequality. Therefore, may even push humans out of the job market and will create an immense new class, the useless class.
I think it's important for people to understand that synthetic biology or biotechnology is taking biology and turning it into technology or making technology that mimics biology. I have over 25 years in the pharmaceutical, medical device, and biotech industries as a med legal advisor and biotech analyst. My clients basically hire me to read through very complex scientific information, FDA filings, and even their patents, so that I can simplify that information for them to understand, the board members to understand. I often joke, my clients pay me to read so they don't have to. And one of the things that I do also is I read the patents. And there's a lot of information in the patents that is not typically disclosed unless a company decides to disclose it to the general public. And when I read through the patents for the mRNA technology vaccines, I was very shocked because they did not read as a vaccine. They read as a bioweapon. When I first went on this endeavor and God put on my heart to look into all these documents, to do what I do for big pharma clients, to do it for his children, I said, I can't do this, God. I had a team of 20 people doing this for me before, and now there's this 20 years of research and development from this highly scientific and complex industry that is very difficult to go through patents that are 280 pages long, and there's dozens of them, and there's thousands of peer-reviewed publications that are anywhere from 5 to 75 pages long. I mean, I looked at my dining room table and all of this information I had to go through, and I said, God, I can't do this. And as my son always reminds me, if I do my best, God does the rest, right? And I think what people need to understand is that because we have not known about this evil, we are now being told this evil is good for us.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They
need a little push.
A push and a drag.
Yeah. They're not doing it because they say they don't want to do it. They're Republicans. They don't like to be told what to do.
Right.
And we got to break that, you know, unpack that. You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
Well, the number that you all given that died, that's once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that.
Something else going on. You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
In the medical marketing industry, we have experts dedicated to something called nomenclature, which is making up words or changing the definition of words so that it sounds better to the medical audience and to consumers. And mRNA is a misnomer. The term mRNA vaccine is a red herring. The purpose is to manipulate people into believing that they are being injected with something that is biological in nature and that is going to enhance their immune system. And that's simply not true. The point of this was to end the human species, to create a new, as Elon Musk calls them, humanoids, like to merge technology into the human body. And before people say that's crazy, what do you think biotechnology is?
DARPA calls it transhumanism, military transhumanism. But in an interesting way, this is actually part and parcel of the whole movement towards robotics. It's not only making individual warfighters comfortable with robots, it's this idea of coupling man and machine and merging humans and machine. And DARPA is doing that with programs now with what they call biohybrids, which people might call cyborgs. You know, they are able to actually control a rat's through a labyrinth remotely because they've implanted electrodes in its brain.
This is a developmental system made by MC10, and it has an antenna and some sensors embedded in it. And what we plan to do is work with them to advance a tattoo that could be used for authentication.
It's taking biology and making it technology, take technology and making it biology. And transhumanism is the merger of the human body with technology. It's obvious to me. I don't know what people, like, the words mean what they mean.
We are at the beginning. When you look at it, at technology transformation, it usually takes place in the terms of an S-curve. And we are just now where we move into the exponential phase. And I agree, artificial intelligence, but not only artificial intelligence, but also the metaverse, near space technologies, and I could go on, synthetic biology. Our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, very much affected, and who masters those technologies in some way will be the master of the world.
So people often ask me, so do you think COVID-19 never happened? And COVID-19 absolutely did happen. There was a pandemic, but what caused COVID-19 was not a virus. What it was this lipid nanoparticle technology that basically hijacks the human immune system as well as our neurological system, causing mild to moderate disease or severe disease. So what they were calling spike proteins were actually lipid nanoparticles. Those were LNPs. So when you take a magnetic hydrogel, which is also in the patents, and you infect a biological cell, you can see that cell is covered with all of these little spikes. That's the spike protein. You're not infected with a virus, you're infected with lipid nanoparticle technology that then reprograms that cell to then give off these biosynthetic toxins in your body. That's what caused COVID-19. And James Giordano, who began advising the US military and the intelligence community in 2008 under the Obama administration, actually discusses the use of lipid nanoparticle technology as neuroweapons.
One of the newest developments is that nanoparticulate matter can be stabilized for distribution. If you're not aware what nanoparticulate matter is, it's that matter which exists on a scale of 1 × 10⁻⁹. Very, very small. Smaller than a cell. And we can manufacture materials that have discrete properties that can be controlled by virtue of bioengineering and their physical chemistry. To auto-aggregate, to be able to aggregate in particular areas based upon their biological and or chemical sensitivity. But now we go one step further. Most recently, just a few weeks ago, it was announced that you could then aerosolize nanomaterials. And go one step further, I can create small robotic units, controllable robotic units at the nanoscale, and that these too can be aerosolized to create a nanoswarm of biopenetrable materials that you cannot see, that can penetrate all but the most robust biochemical filters, that are able to integrate themselves through a variety of membranes, mucous membranes, and wherever, mouth, nose, ears, eyes, can be then uptaken into the vascular system to create clumping, can affect the vascular system of the brain, or can directly diffuse into the brain space, and these can be weaponized. And they can be done in such a level that their presence is almost impossible to detect, and as such, the attribution becomes exceedingly difficult to demonstrate.
They were released in targeted areas, including a nursing home in Kings County, Washington.
Remember, this area is home to some of the most important companies in the world, names that you know, like Microsoft, Amazon, Starbucks, Alaska Airlines, and F5 Networks.
In New York City.
Governor Cuomo just announced the first confirmed case in New York City.
Lombardy, Italy.
In the Lombardy region, the healthcare system is on the brink of collapse.
And then, of course, Wuhan.
Spreading from Wuhan, China, and tonight that first case here in the U.S., the patient in isolation now being treated by that robot.
And by misrepresenting the truth that this was not a highly contagious virus, but making it seem as one, they made people demand a vaccine. The point of COVID-19, as James Giordano had said, it was about to create the media hype of the worried well, so that we would beg for a solution.
What I've now done is I've got every individual who is diagnostically hypochondriacal, and I've got every individual who's the worried well flooding the public health system, banging on the door.
People have been deceived at all levels of government. People have been deceived in militaries around the globe as well, the men and women who are serving in our global militaries. Because before Satan can destroy, he must deceive.
Because in 2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. Listen to those words, infectious replication defective. What does that phrase actually mean? For those of you not familiar with language, let me unpack it for you. Infectious replication defective means a weapon. It means something meant to target an individual, but not have collateral damage to other individuals. That's what infectious replication defective means.
In 2018, Peter Daszak, the president of EcoHealth Alliance, submitted a proposal to the Department of Defense, clearly articulating the bioweapon that they were developing. And part of his team was Ralph Barrett from the University of North Carolina, as well as Dr. Zhengli Shi from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And in the proposal, Daszak clearly states, we will develop recombinant chimeric spike proteins from the known SARS-CoV-2 virus. That's the SARS-CoV-2 sequences. And we will sequence, reconstruct, and characterize spike trimers and incorporate them into nanoparticles. This is very damning evidence that COVID-19 was not caused by a gain-of-function virus. It was caused by nanotechnology. Nanotechnology that was always intended to be used as a bioweapon on global civilians.
Please make sure that you make reference in every investigation to the premeditation nature of this, because it was in September of 2019 that the world was informed that we were going to have an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen so that by September 2020, there would be a worldwide acceptance of a universal vaccine template. That's their words.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
Until an infectious disease crisis is very real, present, and at the emergency threshold, it is often largely ignored. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, he said, we need to increase the public understanding for the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype.
We often say, no one is safe until everyone is safe. And that's more than just a slogan.
No one is safe.
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 We aren't really ever going to be safe.
No one is safe until everyone is safe.
The whole world isn't safe. None of us are safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody is safe until everybody is safe.
Nobody is safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe.
No one is safe until everyone is safe.
No one's safe.
Nobody is safe.
Nobody's safe.
Because nobody is safe until we are all safe.
7 months before the allegation of patient number one, 4 patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen as the justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist.
So let's just get into this, and I'd like to take you through the patents that are on Moderna's website. So there's a patent entitled Modified Polynucleotides for the production of secreted proteins. This is one of the master patents for what they're calling mRNA vaccines. Right in the abstract, it describes that the lipid nanoparticles have a particle size between 80 and 160 nanometers, and it contains modified mRNA encoding a polypeptide. It includes a cationic lipid, a neutral lipid, a cholesterol, and a pegylated lipid. What they're calling lipids actually host cationic charges. They host positive electromagnetic fields. There is no lipid in nature that does that. They're using the term lipid instead of nanotechnology. As you go through the patent in section 219, it explains how they are self-assembled nanoparticles and they're fully programmable. That term in here is an alarming term for a number of reasons. One reason is that these are both pre-programmable as well as they can receive programs from an external source. Microsoft did a 3-minute video on their technology. They call them biological computers.
Imagine a world where we can do computation inside living cells.
The problem that we're trying to solve is really trying to have a more sophisticated diagnosis that can happen automatically inside cells.
Imagine a biological computer that operates inside a living cell.
The type of work that they're doing is essentially they're trying to sense, analyze, and control molecular information.
In this project, we're trying to use DNA as a programmable material.
DNA is highly programmable, just like a computer, and we can program a whole range of complex behaviors using DNA molecules.
So there's one specific patent that I think it's very important for every American citizen to see, and it's patent number US95392102. It was issued on January 10th of 2017. The patent is entitled Vaccine Nanotechnology, and in section 9 it discusses the vaccine nanotechnology that can deliver molecules. In some embodiments, the small molecule is a toxin. The toxin is from a chemical weapon, an agent of biowarfare. This is a utility patent for the pegylated lipid nanoparticles that are in these, what they're calling COVID-19 vaccines. It is a utility patent for that nanotechnology to be used as a bioweapon. So Pfizer entered into a contract with the Department of Defense, the US Army, in July of 2020. And the contract was to manufacture a vaccine that was capable of providing protection against the SARS-CoV-2 threat and related coronaviruses. So the purpose was to create an mRNA vaccine that would protect against SARS-CoV-2 infection and the variants. As you go through this contract, though, under the Chemistry Manufacturing Control section, they go through the manufacturing process. Much of it is blacked out for the lipid nanoparticle formulation. They discuss how the lipid nanoparticles must adhere to good manufacturing practices, so they must not be contaminated. Well, in 2017, the FDA published guidance called Classification of Products as Drugs and Devices. And they classify nanoparticles, they classify them as devices because they can perform their functions inside the human body without being dependent on chemical reactions inside the human body. As you continue to go through the contract under the manufacturing development plan, that Pfizer will describe the manufacturing process for the vaccine product to ensure conformity with the Food and Drug Consumer Protection Act, Title 21-351-A2B. That's alarming because 21 U.S. Code 351-A2B is the good manufacturing processes for devices. Specifically, the term device is an instrument, an apparatus, machine, or a contrivance that is intended to affect the structure of any function of the body of a man or other animal and does not achieve its primary purpose through chemical action within the body. So Pfizer has to adhere to the manufacturing practices for electromagnetic devices in their Operation Warp Speed contract. Nobody was told they were injected with electromagnetic devices.
Physicians from Comisav Worldwide in Mexico confronted their skepticism about the claims of any kind of electromagnetic properties of the vaccine and performed a series of tests. And their results were nothing short of horrifying.
Marzo, abril del 2021, empezamos a detectar magnetismo en el sitio de inoculación de las vacunas. Ese fue el primer hallazgo. Después, compañeros de los vacunados que no estaban vacunados empezaron a decir que también ellos tenían magnetismo en alguna parte de su cuerpo. Ante esa evidencia, nos hicimos de un medidor de frecuencias electromagnéticas y entonces empezamos a medir la radiofrecuencia del vacunado y del no vacunado. Nos llamó la atención que no nada más había un fenómeno magnético, sino que también estaban funcionando como una gran antena. Una antena que estaba recibiendo algún tipo de señal. Llegó a nosotros un estudio de un doctor llamado Pablo Campra de la Universidad de Almería. Y por ahí de junio del 2021 llegó a nosotros el primer estudio de grafeno en una vacuna Pfizer. Yo, como médico, jamás había oído hablar del grafeno ni sabía qué era. Me puse a investigar y es un derivado del carbono que tiene propiedades magnéticas una vez que ingresa al cuerpo. Fuera del cuerpo, en un vial de una vacuna, no es magnético. Aparentemente, cuando el grafeno entra al interior del organismo y cambia de temperatura, reacciona con el hidrógeno del agua corporal y ahí es donde forma el óxido de grafeno y se magnetiza. El siguiente hallazgo fue en noviembre del año pasado, en donde no nada más se detecta grafeno en la vacuna Pfizer, sino se detecta en AstraZeneca, Moderna y Johnson & Johnson, detectado por microscopía electrónica. Después nos vamos enterando que en Estados Unidos el doctor Robert Young también hace microscopía electrónica en viales de vacunas. Y en enero más o menos de este año llega a nuestro conocimiento el estudio de viales de vacuna CanSino, Sputnik y Sinopharm, que también tienen óxido de grafeno. El 100% de los viales que se estudiaron tienen óxido de grafeno.
My first interview with Stu Peters, I disclosed the manufacturing facilities in China that were creating all of the excipients for all of the COVID-19 injections around the globe, including Pfizer's ALC-0135 and ALC-0159. And when you went to their website and you looked at their formulation for these excipients, they had publications on there explaining how they contained graphene oxide. And although that interview has gotten well over tens of millions of views around the globe, I was immediately attacked by the mainstream media saying that there was no evidence that there was graphene oxide in the injections.
False reports online state that some COVID-19 vaccines are 99% graphene oxide.
One claim that's popped up recently is about graphene-like structures in the shot.
A Maine CDC spokesperson called the claim false and ridiculous.
This has not been verified. It's not a peer-reviewed journal. There is no substance here of accountability to the person who's published this.
No, the COVID-19 vaccines do not contain any graphene oxide or other harmful materials.
We are being gaslit and being told that there is no nanotechnology and there is no graphene oxide in these injections. Pfizer's own internal documents, and they have a peer-reviewed publication explaining how they use graphene oxide in the engineering of these nanoparticle technologies and their spike proteins. And when you read through the document, they explain how they order sequences from SynBiological, infect human embryonic kidney cells, pour that fluid, that purified protein fluid, because now after they infect the human embryonic kidney cells, those kidney cells produce these new multi-species proteins that have genetic sequences from non-human DNA. They pour it over a gold quantifoil mesh grids and overlay it with a one atom thick layer of graphene oxide. They create electromagnetic fields that then disrupt the electrons of all of these materials, both organic and inorganic, and new ionic bonds are created. Those new ionic bonds then create millions of what they're calling spike proteins, which are these new artificial pathogens. Scientists and doctors around the globe have started to take a look at what's in the vials underneath the microscope. And Dr. Anna Mahalsia out of Washington State has been pioneering an effort to do this globally. And her colleagues have found and observed electromagnetic devices underneath the microscope, and they've seen the technology begin to self-assemble. Engineers have been looking at the vials, the fluid in the vials underneath an electron microscope, brought in cell phones to see if there's a reaction. And what they found is that when the fluid that's in the vials is near electromagnetic frequencies, whether they're from smartphones or smart towers in a house, it activates this technology. They also talk about in this patent in section 219 is the gels and the hydrogels. And it says mRNA disclosed herein may be encapsulated into any hydrogel known in the art, which may form a gel when injected into the subject. And hydrogel is comprised of single atom thick graphene oxides. So in Died Suddenly, when you see those long, thin, white fibrous clots, those are the product of magnetic smart hydrogel. They're called soft actuators. They mimic cells and proteins to the point that they can actually start building structures in the human body, tissue structures, anatomical structures. They can recreate entire systems and organs. And hydrogel is comprised of single atom thick graphene oxide. What you're also going to be seeing, though, is you're going to be hearing the benefits of graphene oxide. The mainstream media is going to say, oh, graphene oxide has these amazing bactericidal effects, meaning it kills bacteria. It has amazing antiviral effects. These are things that you're going to hear about graphene oxide. These are lies. Graphene oxide can be as thin as a single atom thick, but it's also a great conductor of electromagnetic fields. When it's been merged with these non-human proteins that Pfizer did at Groton, Connecticut, and they merge graphene oxide, an electromagnetic conductor, with proteins, biological proteins, and they create these new synthetic agents, they're called transducers. That means they can change the electromagnetic field inside the human body. Graphene oxide is being used because of its great electromagnetic properties. This is not conspiracy theory, and people are hosting electromagnetic fields. We have people who are able to put magnets to themselves. They're emitting Bluetooth signals.
Pero, ¿por qué a campo abierto y cuál fue la justificación? Con un dispositivo electrónico como este simple celular, con una aplicación para Bluetooth, cuando se estaba cerca de personas vacunadas, se recogían unos códigos Bluetooth que se llaman MAC, quiere decir Media Access Control o Control de Acceso a Media.
The first three, known as WI, correspond to the device manufacturer's identifier. The last three blocks, also known as NIC, are the serial number or identifier of the device itself.
Uno por uno, vacunado por vacunado, va a transitar del punto A al punto B.
A ver si se registra.
Uno por uno. Y vamos a ver a qué distancia nos da lectura el código Bluetooth. Entonces, ahora lo vamos a hacer así. ¿Y por qué lo estamos haciendo aquí? En mi lugar de trabajo, con esa misma computadora, salen 1500 códigos Bluetooth. Sí, que pase el primero, por favor. Ahorita, tiempo cero. No habemos ningún vacunado. Y no hay ninguna lectura de Bluetooth. Que pase, César.
Ya va para allá.
Este ya está listo esto para leer.
Sí, padre.
Luego se agarró. Sí. A ver, bien. Entonces, código de dedo 9, 36,
sí.
54.
Sí.
F de foco D, de dedo,
sí.
99,
sí.
52.
¿Cuándo entraron?
¿Sí?
5403,
Después otro de 9365.
Y ahorita otro, el 0F. Pues ya no sé de todos esos cuál, pero o sea, el último que se prendió.
Justo cuando va a entrar.
Sí, ahí sí fue muy notorio. Súper claro.
Justo cuando entraste se encendió. Saludándolos desde un cementerio en alguna parte de la República, para que vean que no hay ninguna persona aquí, aparte de nosotros, que no estamos vacunados. Y aquí estamos recogiendo los códigos de Bluetooth de personas que ya fallecieron. Por lo pronto, en ese cementerio, 4 códigos Bluetooth que hemos detectado. Obviamente, desconocemos dónde están las personas que fallecieron en 2021 y 2022, y nos estamos guiando por las lecturas de Bluetooth. Repito, estamos en un cementerio, aquí alrededor no hay nadie vivo a la redonda. Aquí, nuevamente, otro dispositivo Bluetooth más de una persona que falleció el 22 de noviembre del 2021. Ya están 11 dispositivos aquí registrados y ahí están los códigos MAC.
mRNA is software programs, it is encoding. And if you go to Moderna's website in the Wayback Machine from 2021, they specifically say on their website, mRNA is a temporary set of instructions for cells to make a protein. They call DNA the storage of that. And they call their mRNA platform an operating system. Under 21 USC 351, which is cited in the Operation Warp Speed contract, when they discuss devices, they also discuss the software programs. It says the term device does not include software functions excluded pursuant to section 360JO of this title. So Moderna says on their website that the mRNA are software programs and they can be programmed, pre-programmed, or they can be programmed from outside sources. Operation Warp Speed contract and the FDA are saying they're not overseeing what these programs do. So in the very near future, you're going to be hearing this new term, directed evolution. Some of you may have already heard it if you saw the Project Veritas video on Jordan Walker, who was the director of mRNA scientific research at Pfizer.
No, directed evolution is very different.
Direct evolution?
Directed evolution.
Directed evolution, okay. Well, so, I mean, is that what it is?
Maybe. Well, you're not supposed to do gain function research with the viruses, like,
yeah.
They recommend not. But you do, like, these, like, selected directional mutations to try to see if you can make more potent.
Yeah.
So there is research ongoing about that. I don't know how that's going to work. There might not be any more outbreaks, to thank Jesus Christ.
And this caught the attention of Lieutenant General Kiryov, who's the Russian chief of nuclear and biowarfare.
Commenting on approaches to creating new vaccine drugs, Walker said, quote, "We don't mutate it ourselves. We focus on creating, proactively developing new vaccines." Thus, the Pfizer employee admits to conducting directed evolution research aimed at gaining competitive advantage and increasing profits. Walker's statements are backed up by those of former Pfizer employee Karen Kingston. She explicitly stated that the US pharmaceutical company's products, quote, are by definition biological weapons. So-called directed evolution changes that may or may not take tens or hundreds of years in nature and to create artificial viruses with a higher risk of infecting humans.
But they're not talking about viruses. They're talking about the directed evolution and controlling the evolution of the human species. Directed evolution is transhumanism. Transhumanism, if you're forcing non-human genetic mutations to our genome, you are exterminating the human species.
It was actually described as a bioweapons platform technology in 2005. And from 2005 onwards, it was actually a biowarfare enabling agent, its official classification from 2005 forward. I don't know if that sounds like public health to you. Does it? Biological warfare enabling technology. That feels like not public health. That feels like not medicine. That feels like a weapon designed to take out humanity. That's what it feels like. And it feels like that because that's exactly what it is.
Directed evolution is for the purposes of exterminating the human species, it is the definition of biowarfare.
Because of their lust for power, the rulers of this world are doomed to reenact their fathers' sins. In the days of Noah, they contaminated the gene pool. But today, their hubris has augmented the very fabric of God's handiwork.
That on a historical timescale, we are very close to an unprecedented and enormous and swift transformation of human life and the world.
20 years from now, they will be the size of blood cells and you won't need any surgery. It'll just go into your brain through the bloodstream. Little robotic devices in the bloodstream, into the brain, and they'll put our neocortex, which is the part of our brain where we do our thinking, onto the cloud, connected to the cloud.
Genome engineered animals and plants are happening right now. And this puts in front of all of us a huge responsibility to consider carefully both the unintended consequences as well as the intended impacts of a scientific breakthrough. Thank you.
What people aren't understanding is that we are in the middle of World War III. We're in the middle of a global war. Why did every nation around the globe in lockstep decide to lock down their countries, place their civilians on house arrest as if they had been invaded by a foreign enemy, put forward rules that you would have in prison camps in order to cause emotional and mental distress? So the question is, why did every nation around the globe agree to do this if we weren't in the middle of a war and under a global attack by some other global power?
Ladies and gentlemen, I send you my warmest greetings and best wishes on the launch of the Great Reset.
This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Today, it's the beginning of a global mobilization effort to rally our forces behind this Great Reset initiative.
Therefore, we have a unique but rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable path.
Rebalancing investments, harnessing science and technology, and advancing the transition to net zero emissions, all elements of the Great Reset, are fundamental to building the future we need.
If you wonder what someone's intentions are, you know, we're doing this for the greater good, well, look at the outcomes. We've destroyed economies around the globe. Our children are set back years in social and educational development, and young, healthy people and teenagers and children are having heart attacks and dropping dead. If you wonder what their intentions are with this mRNA technology platform, look at the outcomes. If we don't recognize that there's evil in this world, now, then we're going to be annihilated to the exact level of our naivete.
Philo Farnsworth never allowed his creation into his own home. Nor did Steve Jobs. Kalashnikov regretted his killing machine. Alfred Nobel, inventor of dynamite, founded the Nobel Peace Prize to offset the destruction his invention created. Orville Wright mourned the destruction his wings brought into the world. Oppenheimer became death itself. And the godfather of AI has now left Google and begun warning of the coming perils of his creation.
Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
In their hubris, the builders of the Tower of Babel reached toward the sky to make war on heaven and overthrow God. And nothing that they had imagined would be restrained from them, so God confused their languages. But today, the builders of these new towers care not on whom they make war, as long as they become like the God they claim does not exist. But if history has clarified anything, it is that the minds responsible for bringing forth these technological revolutions will soon regret what they have done. But by then, it will be far too late. Pandora's box is now open, and its contents have exploded forth into this world under the influence of those men and spirits who despise themselves and their maker.
Question everything.
And someone told you that's bad?
We are right. You are right. You are not crazy. You are not a conspiracy theorist. This is 100% about killing people. There is no threshold for death. Professional athletes are collapsing.